This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise and thanks and worship be unto Allah سبحانه وتعالى, Lord and Master of the Universe. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, we bear witness that none has the right of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We send our greetings and love and salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to his pious and pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. We beseech Allah in this time of hardship, we beseech Allah collectively, Ya Allah, alleviate us from this tribulation, this test that you have put before us. Grant us to be, for this test to be averted from us. May Allah keep us and our families and our loved ones safe, our health, our rizq, our sustenance, our bodies, our iman, most and foremost our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us all together. May Allah have mercy on those who are going through hardship and alleviate their suffering. May Allah have mercy on those who have passed away. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us through this test better people, and may it end soon, bi-idhnillah, ya Allah, walhamdulillah. Today is the 3rd of April 2020. It is for us here in Cape Town, it is 1 week into the lockdown that we've experienced. It is the third Jumu'ah, subhanAllah, now that the masajid have been closed. And just on that point, many people would narrate hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said the person who neglects or does not attend three Jumu'ahs in a row consecutively, then there's a severe, as if though he's excommunicated from Islam. It's one of those severe things. Please note that we have not missed a Jumu'ah. For all those of us who would have loved to be in the masjid, who would have been in the masjid had it not been for the closure, then of course this is out of our hands, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi-idhnillah will give us an even better Jumu'ah than the one that we have attended. So at home you're making your dhuhr, there is no qada, doesn't mean when the masjid's open we'll make these Jumu'ahs up. In fact, it is written for us, walhamdulillah. So it's been 3 weeks that we've not been able to be together. We've watched as this pandemic has spread. It is something which is foremost on all of our minds, and subhanAllah, we've seen that the number of infections globally has reached 1 million now. This is a big milestone, and the rate, as we can see, is increasing continuously. More than 50,000 people have died. I'm sure you are familiar with the numbers here in South Africa. For us, alhamdulillah, we've been fortunate so far. It has been quieter than expected, and we pray that we are being fortunate in this regard. On the other hand, we need to prepare for the worst. As many of the doctors around the world have said, you have this period of calm where the hospitals are empty. People are not coming to the hospitals unless it's an emergency, and so you find that the hospitals are empty, bracing themselves for, wa'na'udhu billah, may Allah protect, this influx of sick people. And we hope that South Africa, subhanAllah, we will be spared this and the worst of it. We know that there are many, many people that are not able to protect themselves. There are many poor people, there are many people who have compromised immune systems. So those of us who we continue making our dua and we continue taking the precautions, we need to do our best, and then we leave the matter in Allah's hands. And without a doubt, watching this event, this crisis unfold, this is the greatest test globally for us as people. Certainly for the last 50, 60 years since World War II, this is the greatest challenge, seeing countries coming to a halt. And therefore for us, it's something that we need to take very, very seriously. Without a doubt, this is a test, it's a tribulation. And today's khutbah is about how do we respond to this, how do we, process this and move forward from that. In Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a number of verses, very interesting verses that are so applicable to us. We read these verses time and time again, but now that we're in it, we understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 40 of Surah Al-An'am, Allah says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ أَوْ أَتَتْكُمُ السَّاعَةِ. Allah says, have you considered, have you thought, if a punishment of Allah were to come upon us, or even the sa'ah, meaning qiyamah itself, were to come, أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ تَدَعُونَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, would you then turn to anyone and beseech anyone and ask for assistance from anyone besides Allah, the Master of the Universe? Would you go back to anyone? Allah answers and says, بَلْ إِيَّاهُ تَدَعُونَ فَيَكْشِفُ مَا تَدَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ إِن شَاءَ وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ. Allah says, surely you will, Allah answers that in times of a hardship, in times of extreme calamity, you will turn back and ask Allah alone. And this, what's beautiful about this ayah is Allah speaking to both the Muslim and the non-Muslim, the one who committed shirk, the one who has never ever turned to Allah. Allah says, if you neglected me your entire life, and now that you see the punishment, or even the sa'ah, Allah says, you come and you turn to me, فَيَكْشِفُ مَا تُدَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ, then I will remove. Allah says, I promise you, I will remove that which you asked me to remove. I will take it away. I will remove this virus. Insha, if I choose so, وَتَنْسَوْنَ مَا تُشْرِكُونَ, and you will surely forget all those things that you have prioritized, all the partners you've made with Allah, you will forget them, and hopefully you will come back to Allah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and he says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ, that surely many, many times to many nations before you, before us, Allah has sent messengers and books. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, Allah says, and we seized them, we took hold of them with misfortune, with calamity, with hardship, with poverty, all kinds of misfortune. Allah says, there are many countless nations before you that experienced hardship that Allah sent to them. Why? And this is the reason why. Allah's, you know, it's a profound reason. Allah says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, so that they may humble themselves, so that they may come back down to earth, so that they may remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose was never to cause pain. The purpose was never to inflict harm. It was meant as something positive, that they may come back to Allah. Then Allah continues, if we do not come back, what is the consequence? Allah says, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا, so why then, if they did they not come back, did they not humble themselves when the punishment or the tribulation befell them, when this hardship came to them, when Allah sent them this hardship, they did not come back. وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, and then, on the other hand, instead of coming back to Allah, their hearts became hard and it became sealed. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and shaitan made it seem that which they were doing as trivial, as small. They did not realize the reminder, Allah sending them a reminder to change their lifestyles. They did not change, they continue as it was. And so Allah says, number one, based on that, their hearts became sealed off, became hard. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا, and Allah says, and when they forgot, they did not take heed, مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, they did not take heed of the reminder that we sent to them. SubhanAllah, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes. Allah says, He punishes, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبَوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah says, then I opened up for them all the doors of everything, meaning all kinds of good and money and luxury and enjoyment. Allah says, I opened it completely for them. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا, until that they enjoyed themselves, they were at the height of their amusement and happiness. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَخْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ, we seized them at that moment of complete forgetfulness in Allah, enjoying their money, enjoying their wealth, feeling all pomp and powerful. Allah says, at that point, I seized them, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them, caused them to die. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ, and then truly did they become despairing. Now this ayah, these group of ayahs are very, very significant for us. What we learn is a principle with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when we forget about Him, that when we turn away, when we live a life that is heedless, Allah does not hold us account immediately. Rather, He sends reminders. And sometimes the reminders are small. In all of us, our lives, we see relatives that pass away. We should be reminded with, you know, every time we get sick, we should be reminded of you know, of our health, of our death. Every time we go past the cemetery, we know this is where we're going to end up. We should be reminded by these things. We listen to the khatib, we get a lecture, and it reminds us. Sometimes we don't take heed of the reminder. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends bigger reminders. For us here in South Africa, for example, a year or two ago, we had the drought. And this should have been a wake-up call for many of us. And then really, and sometimes this is really out of the mercy of Allah, He sends a global reminder. And this, subhanAllah, as we said, is one of the biggest events that we've seen in the last 50, 60, 70 years. And this, when you see the entire world shutting down, Allah says, this is a reminder about Allah's grandeur. It's a reminder about the purpose of life. It's a reminder for everyone to look at our lives and reassess, are we on the right path? If we continue as we were, where are we going to end up? And so it's up to us to see how we respond. And Allah says, when we respond by humbling ourselves and beseeching Him and turning back to Him, He says, I will remove that hardship. Its purpose was to remind you. When you remember, then Allah will remove it. No problem. But if we do not take heed and we our lives continue as it was, we continue enjoying ourselves, we continue living the life that we were always doing, then Allah says He will, unfortunately, He will close our hearts off, seal it. He will make us follow, shaitan will make it seem like our lives, our sins are small, and then Allah will open up all the doors of goodness and all the enjoyment. And this actually is a worse punishment. And so this ayah shows you, this set of ayah shows you that a tribulation might actually be a blessing and a you know, the opening of goodness, of barakah, or not barakah, the opening of money and wealth and power. This might actually be a punishment. So how we respond and how we come out of it is very important. All of us are being tested. We are sitting in an exam, and this coronavirus is a test that we are all taking together. How we respond now is really the answer, is really the important part for us to do. So how should we respond to this? So number one, of course, we have to increase in ibadah. As Allah says, we tadarra'u, we return back to, and we increase in ibadah, and we'll talk more about that, inshallah. Number two, what's important is for us to avoid sin. We have to, all of us collectively, I speak to myself first and foremost and my family, we need to look at our lives. None of us are perfect. Even the best of us can improve, and even the worst of us, there's an opportunity to get closer to Allah. And so we should look at our lives and try to avoid the sins that we did. Alhamdulillah, what's wonderful about this situation is Allah has caused many of the haram things that we were doing to automatically be closed down. We can't go out. We can't go to places which are haram anymore. In fact, subhanAllah, we're very proud. And maybe, you know, subhanAllah, maybe this is the reason why South Africa at the moment, our curve is not as high as we expected. One of the reasons could be that, subhanAllah, we're the only country in the world that completely banned alcohol during this time. So immediately we see this, of course, it wasn't taken from an Islamic perspective, but as this is pleasing to Allah, that a society turns away from something which displeases Allah. And we pray that this is one of the reasons why that we are not seeing the full effects of this. So Allah has made it easy for us, given back our time, given back our family time, that we can increase in ibadah and avoid the sins that we do. There is, of course, an opportunity now that we see an increase in certain sins that we weren't doing before. So now we're at home. Of the things that we do, of the big sins that you could do now is, of course, not following the instructions, putting other people's lives at danger. This is a major sin, really, to go out against the instructions of the government, the instructions of the people. Anyone who does this without a valid reason, then subhanAllah, you are sinning. Number two, you see while our lives, our physical lives are limited, our social life, our digital lives are really getting out of control. And through this past week, I've received so many disturbing messages, fake news, false hadith, false interpretations of the Quran, distorting the words of Allah, to conspiracy theories. And so people are falling into errors with regards to social media and the digital footprint. And we are now actually sinning online, even though physically we might not be sinning, our physical bodies, but online we're doing many things which are haram. So just take these ayat and these hadith into account. So number one, spreading false information, fake news. SubhanAllah, I don't know why some people go through the effort to actually type up something which is false or record a message that is false, and they share it and cause mass harm in what they're doing. And others simply receive it without assessing it, without verifying it. They amplify it and they pass on. Allah says to you and me, oh, you will believe, if a fasik, if a untrusted or an evil person or someone that you cannot trust comes to you with any news, then verify it first. Verify it. Allah's telling in the Quran is your responsibility. Whether you get a hadith, whether you get a lecture, whether you get anything medical related, first verify it if it's true or not. Lest you should harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you become regretful for what you've done, and then you will, when you share that on, you will harm people, and subhanAllah, you can actually cause people to die by sending out incorrect information. So this is a command from Allah. It's a major sin to share false news, even without unintentionally, but you did not verify it. The Prophet ﷺ says to us a hadith, which by now I'm sure many of you have heard. Many scholars are repeating this hadith time and time again, because what we do is we forward as received, without assessing, without testing it, without, you know, checking it out if it's true or not. The Prophet says it is enough for someone to be considered a liar by simply sharing or speaking everything that he hears. Anything you receive, you just convey it and relay it without verifying it, without assessing it. It is enough for you to become a liar like that. So be very, very careful what you share. Allah has given us a golden opportunity to take away many of the haram that we interact physically, the places we go to, the people we see. Allah has confined us to our homes, which are safe. Now, the one place which is very dangerous is our cell phones in particular, our TVs, our laptops. Shut those things down, avoid it, use it only for good things, and inshallah, then you really don't have much haram around you. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says a very profound statement. So profound, I felt I even have to, I don't very rarely update my Facebook status, but this statement from him was so profound that I felt, you know, it's amazing when you find the previous predecessors, they go through similar stuff like us. And he says, take a lot of care and caution in times of tribulation. Be very careful, because if you say an incorrect word during tribulation, during a crisis, it can be as devastating as a sword. Something you put out there can cause such a panic, or cause such a some other person to believe it, that someone could die in this tribulation, and you'll be held accountable for that. So be very, very careful what you receive and what you share. There is no harm in you not sharing it. You will not be held accountable for what you do not share. So if you feel it's safer, I don't want to share things, even better for you, bi-ibnillah. So that is with regards to fake news and false information we've received. I've also received lots of people sending me videos or audios about conspiracy theories, that there's a greater plot afoot, that this is part of a great scheme. All of this is fake. What you see on the news, there isn't such thing as a coronavirus. People have gone so far to say that the entire thing is a made-up thing. All the governments of the world, all the hospitals are in on it together. And there's so many theories about what this is. Subhanallah, you know, you have to verify the information that you are sharing. You have to verify it. And if you are sharing something of an Islamic nature, make sure you are, either you are yourself an expert in that, in what you are sharing, or you are trusted. And if you are sharing things of a dunya nature, so people are telling you, for example, eat this or drink that and it will cure coronavirus, or that this thing does not harm you, or something else, you know, the Wi-Fi or the 5G out there is causing harm. I don't even want to get into the 5G conspiracy theory out there. Educate yourself with regards to the dunya, and it's not enough for you to watch a YouTube video to be educated. Go and study and learn something of either the dunya sciences or the Islamic sciences before you share these things, because you are causing harm in what you are sharing. These conspiracy theories, subhanAllah, sometimes people get so caught up in it that they become detached from reality, and that they actually cause more harm and can actually result in death. So be careful about these conspiracy theories. In times of tribulation, you know, the Prophet ﷺ reminds us, and he gives us certain guidance with regards to times of tribulation. And he says that in a hadith in Bukhari, that the one who remains out of that tribulation, who stays at home, the one who sits is better than the one who stands. The one who stands is better than the one who is walking and running. That if you stay at home, that you stay indoors, you stay avoid the tribulation, it is better for you. And anyone who exposes himself to it, who gets involved in it, whether physically or online, you will be sucked into it and you will be harmed by it. So avoid these things, avoid these discussions, and save yourself and look after yourself. And that is what is required of you in times of tribulation. One of the big themes that I'm getting in terms of these conspiracy theories or these question marks, you're getting hadith and ayat that are being shared. And people are asking, is this Qiyamah? Is this, are we seeing the coming and the end of times, subhanAllah? Are we seeing the end of times? And so part of my the lecture today is to talk a little bit about Qiyamah. Can we, you know, is this Qiyamah? How serious is this as a as a sign from Allah. So without a doubt, it is a tribulation. It is a reminder from Allah. It is something for us to take note of. It is serious. It's not something that we should just ignore. It's not every day we see something like this. But is it enough for us to even go to that point? Because I've seen a video clip that is circulating that's saying that when, you know, before Qiyamah arrives, Hajj will stop and Umrah will stop. And now, subhanAllah, we are seeing the Saudi government has closed the harams. There is no more Umrah. There is no more Hajj. So clearly, this is an indication that Qiyamah is coming. You watch the 5-minute clip, part of a much bigger video clip, a part of a much bigger discussion. This is not the first time that the Hajj and Umrah has been suspended. This, you read history, you'll find this happening before. So it's for us to be a little more critical in what we receive. But this happened before. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu, one of the very, very early converts of Islam after the Prophet had passed away, he settled in Kufa in Iraq. And he was with his students in his house, and that on one of the days a red sandstorm, you know, a very strange kind of sandstorm blew over the city and the entire sky turned red. And one of the students sitting there jumped up and he said, the hour has come. This is Qiyamah. Look at the sky. You know, it's the world is coming to an end. And Ibn Mas'ud was sitting, he was reclining, he was relaxing, and then he stepped forward and he said, this is not the end of the world. This is not the last hour. Rather, a few things need to happen before Qiyamah comes. So before we talk about Qiyamah, let's understand what we know from the hadith. What do we know about Qiyamah? And then we can assess, is this something that we should worry about, that is Qiyamah? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh then explains to his students that there are signs, sort of, steps that must be reached, milestones that must be reached before the coming of Qiyamah, the end of the world. And some of those signs, clearly they have come, clearly they have passed, we are beyond them, and others are still to come. So of the signs of Qiyamah, we know that Qiyamah is close. When the Prophet ﷺ, when he arrived, when he was commissioned with his Nubuwa, he told us that me and the advent of Qiyamah is like this, and he put together his index finger and his middle finger, meaning he put them together. The difference between those two fingers is me and Qiyamah. Qiyamah and I are very, very close together. In the Quran, Allah says that the moon has split and the sa'ah has come near. One of the big signs of the coming of Qiyamah was that the moon was split in half in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Another big sign of the advent of Qiyamah is the death of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the end of revelation. Remember this entire purpose of life from the beginning of Nabi Adam until the last man was that Allah will send us revelation, will send us books to guide us, to turn us back to Him. The fact that this entire system of revelation came to an end with the demise of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us we are at the end of this story. We are really at the last chapter of mankind. And it's been 1,400 years since that happened. Other signs than a piece of some, signs that the Prophet ﷺ predicted that said before Qiyamah, what would happen? We would conquer Jerusalem. This happened in the time of the Sahaba, that Persia would be conquered, that Constantinople, Istanbul would be conquered. That was the biggest city in the world, and that was conquered about 600-700 years ago, by the Ottoman Empire. There are also many, many minor signs. Many of us must have heard this before. There's a whole genre of Islamic knowledge which talks about the minor signs. In a very famous hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is asked by Jibreel. Jibreel asked the Nabi ﷺ, when is Qiyamah going to come? And the Prophet says, neither you, O Jibreel, nor I, we both don't know when Qiyamah is going to come. It is something which is hidden, and only Allah knows the coming of Qiyamah. But Allah has given us hints or signs to remind us or to make us aware of the coming of Qiyamah. And there are many, many dozens of minor signs that the Prophet ﷺ has predicted. Of them, for example, he says, the hour will not be established until the Arabs or the Bedouin people will compete in building very tall buildings. So there's a very, very explicit sign of Qiyamah. It is also something very relevant to us, knowing that in the Middle East today, the tallest buildings in the world are there. The Prophet ﷺ says of the signs of Qiyamah, is that lying, particularly in business transactions, will become very commonplace. It will become the norm. And the markets will become very close together. You know, the markets will become very congested and close together. The Prophet says, the hour will not come until time, the value of time or the time appears to go very quickly, meaning a year will pass like just a month. So much things would happen within a year that it would seem like it just flew by. And all of us can relate to that. The Prophet ﷺ says, from the signs of the hour is that knowledge will diminish, that great scholars will die, ignorance will prevail. There will be such mass scale of ignorance, even though they will be reading, people can are literate, but they will be ignorant of the deen of the dunya. You will find fornication, zina will be open, will be prevalent wherever you look, subhanAllah. And never have we lived in a time where with a click of a button we can see everything. We can be, you know, anything that you want to see, it's in the palm of your hand, literally, subhanAllah. No nation or no group of people in the history of mankind experienced what we are experiencing in that. And of course, not all of these things are bad. Of the things Nabi Sun said, that you'd find that women increased more than that of men. It's not a negative sign of Qiyamah. There are some positive signs of the coming of Qiyamah, like the conquest of Jerusalem. So good things. One of the things also that there will be more women than men, up to the point of 50-1 in terms of this hadith. We have not reached that benchmark. A very clear sign of Qiyamah, the Prophet says, mosques will be beautified, they'll be made very beautiful, and the voices will be raised in it, they'll be amplified in it. This could be talking about the microphones and the speakers that we have. Another sign, the Prophet says, that the Muslims will be vast in number. They'll be, you know, towards every corner of the world you'll find the ummah, but the value of the Muslim ummah will be very weak, like the foam in the sea will be pushed around, and our lands will be invaded by our enemies, and they will take from our resources and take from our lands like birds eating. And this, subhanAllah, we see it, and this is perhaps was more prevalent in the time of the colonizers, you know, a century or two ago. The Prophet speaks about a time when riba will become so rampant that even those who don't indulge in it will be exposed to its harm, its smoke. That a time will come close to Qiyamah when we will not have a jama'ah. There will no longer be a unified ummah, and we will not have a leader. And we know that since the demise of the Ottoman Empire about 100 years ago, for the first time in our history, we have not had a khalifa. These are big, big signs that are occurring. There are other signs that are very cryptic. Allah alam what they mean. They could be speaking about our time, they could be speaking about another time. For example, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi says, close to the time of Qiyamah, people will come to the masjid riding very comfortable saddles, and they will dismount at the door of the masjid. You know, they would travel in a very comfortable form of transportation. Could this be cause? Allah alam. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi says, the women of that time, they will be wearing clothing, but they will be naked. Again, before, if you look at the pictures of people, the way they dressed up until the last 50, 60 years, we haven't seen the level of nakedness as we see it today. The Prophet says, by him in whose hand my life is, the hour will not be established until the beasts, people will communicate with animals. So there's something which perhaps has not yet occurred. And the end of a man's whip and his shoelace and his thigh will be able to speak to him. So he will have a device where he will be able to communicate with his family at home in his absence. Could this be a cell phone? Could this be talking about, you know, wireless communication? Allahu alam. This is something which is in the hadith. So very clear, signs which the Prophet is talking about. Now, those are all the minor signs, and there are many, many more minor signs, some of them which have clearly occurred. Most of them actually have occurred. We see them being prevalent. And there are a few, quite a number of them, that have not yet occurred. For example, there will be some great treasure that is found in the Euphrates River. This is something which is spoken about, has not yet occurred. There are a few other minor signs that have not occurred. Then, of course, there is the major signs of Qiyamah. There are 10 big signs. When they come, there is no doubt that the Qiyamah is basically at hand. And that when these come, these 10 signs of Qiyamah, they are like, the hadith speaks about like a pregnant woman on the verge of giving birth. So this is when you see these 10 signs, know that the end of the world is a foregone conclusion. And these 10 signs, the Prophet says, Qiyamah will never occur until you see 10 signs. Number one, and this is not in order, the Sahabi listed them as he remembered them, but they're not in the order. So the smoke, there will be a smoke that will come, the coming of Dajjal, the coming of a beast out of the earth, the rising of the sun from the west, the descent of Nabi Isa, the return of the Messiah, the release of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and then three big landslides or three big, you know, sinkholes that will occur in the world, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the Middle East. And then there will be the last of the signs is a huge fire that will push the remainder of humanity to a certain area. And once they occur, they will come down like beads. Now, if we go back to that hadith of Abdullah Mas'ud, remember we spoke about the hadith where Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was sitting with his students and the sky became red and one of the students jumped up and he said, "Ya Allah, it's Qiyamah." And Abdullah Mas'ud said, "No, it's not Qiyamah." And then he went on to explain some of the things that must occur. So Abdullah Mas'ud first began and he spoke about that there will be tribulation, spoke about there will be a great war in the Middle East, particularly in Syria and Iraq, with European people. And from that, we know many other hadith tells us that there will come a time when the Ummah is disunited, they are divided, there will be a lot of conflicts happening in the Middle East, and we will not have a leader. And so then a leader will arise, is called Imam Mahdi, and the army of Imam Mahdi will fight with the Europeans, and he will be successful, in defeating this great army in the Middle East. And a lot of all the conflict that the hadith speak about is happening in Syria and in the Palestine area. And it's, you know, could this be similar to the conflict we see today? This area has always had battles. It could be something which is now. It could be something happening in 50 years, or it could be in 100,000 years. Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best. But in this area, there will be a great, great war called the Malhama, or the great, great war that will occur in the Middle East. And Imam Mahdi will be in charge at that time. The Muslims will win. Imam Mahdi will win. But then Dajjal will be released. And Dajjal will be released, and he will remain for 40 days. One day will be like a year, one day will be like a month, one day will be like a week, and the other remaining days will be normal days of Dajjal. And this will be the biggest fitna. There will be no tribulation worse than Dajjal. This is the worst thing that will befall mankind, the coming of Dajjal. And he will remain on the earth, and he will cause mischief and havoc and lead people astray. SubhanAllah, we look at this crisis and how people are completely confused. People are in hysteria. Imagine when Dajjal comes, Allah protect us. And then, following Dajjal, soon after his coming, Allah will send Nabi Isa down, also in Syria, subhanAllah, everything happening in Syria, and may Allah make it easy for that land that is going through so much at the moment. Nabi Isa will come down, he will defeat Dajjal, and the Messiah, the age of the Messiah will begin. He will rule for 7 years, and it will be the best years, you know, in terms of the history of the world. There will be no fighting anymore, there will be no animosity, the whole world will be under one religion, and he will rule the entire world, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, and it will be peace and prosperity for 7 years. And then Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be released from the barrier. They will break through their barrier, and they will completely destroy the world, and all of humanity will perish basically at their hand, except for a very few people that will survive, that are hiding away, including Nabi Isa alayhi salam, the Messiah, and a few of his people will survive. And then Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be killed by Allah subhanahu through a disease, basically a small disease, a tiny disease will destroy them and kill them. And then Nabi Isa will, and the remainder of the believers and the people will come out, and humanity will begin again slowly. And then at some point a breeze, and this could be the smoke which Allah speaks about in the Quran, one of the signs of Qiyamah, a smoke will come and will take the souls of those who have iman, that there is none left. Even in the biblical scriptures, they talk about the rapture, where this breeze will come and the believers will be taken away. And then what is left of humanity will just be the worst of the worst. And then Qiyamah will only come upon the worst of people. And so the Prophet ﷺ, in a hadith, he says to the Sahaba that Qiyamah will not come until people return to idol worship. And one of the Sahaba says, but is it not that Islam will then prevail here in the Middle East? Is it not that Islam will remove idol worship? And the Prophet ﷺ says, yes, it will happen. But eventually things will occur that will result in all the believers dying. This breeze will come, and what will be remaining is only the worst of people, and it is upon them that the trumpet will be blown. And that would be that is when Qiyamah would come. So after Nabi Isa and after the believers are taken away through this breeze, the rest of the signs of Qiyamah will be experienced by people that will no longer remember Allah, that will not worship Allah anymore. And so these are basically the steps. So if we look at this virus, subhanAllah, it is surely one of the big events that we need to take note of? It is something for us, a personal reminder. Is it one of the signs mentioned in the hadith? There's no sign in the hadith that speaks about this, but it is the prophet of the genres of the hadith. You find that Nabi says, as we reach closer to Qiyamah, we have more and more of these big tribulations that affect the whole of humanity. They become more frequent. And this is, of course, setting the stage for the coming of Dajjal and the coming of Nabi Isa. All these things, may Allah protect. Point is, this is not Qiyamah, or not quite yet. And however, asking whether this is Qiyamah or not is besides what is important. Does it even matter if this is Qiyamah? So we have hadith where a man comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about Qiyamah. When is Qiyamah going to come? And the Prophet ﷺ says to one of these people, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, what have you prepared for Qiyamah? The Prophet didn't answer him. He says, what have you prepared? Are you ready for Qiyamah? If Qiyamah were to come, how much good deeds have you done? How much istighfar have you made? Are you ready for it? What changes basically if it were Qiyamah? In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said to a man who asked him, when is Qiyamah? The Prophet says, look at the youngest or the smallest child in the group. When that child grows up to become an old man, so look at your children and look at the youngest child that you have. When that baby grows up to being an old man, for you Qiyamah would have come. Does it matter, subhanAllah, if Qiyamah comes in 50 years from now, Dajjal comes in 10 years time, but you die tomorrow, I die today, may Allah protect us. What difference does it make when we're in the qabr? Then for you and for me, our Qiyamah has come. The nature of this test of life remains the same. Ultimately, it is your salah, it is your fasting, it is the being a good person to your family, being a good person to your neighbors, being good to your community. Those are the things that is ultimately what this life is all about. And the Sahaba understood that, subhanAllah, what shows you the fiqh and the understanding of the Sahaba, when the Prophet spoke to them about Dajjal, their first question wasn't about how does he look and where is he going to come from and how does he have these powers. The first thing they actually asked the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how do we make salah? If he's going to distort time, if one day is going to be like a year, how do we make salah? Because they understood the priority is to worship Allah. And so, if this were the end for us, it's something that we should think about. You and I should think about, if this is really the end, if this is something that maybe it's not the end of time, but it's the end for me. This disease, may Allah protect, could affect me. Do I have my affairs in order? So, you know, someone comes to the doctor and says, or comes to the sheikh and says, I've just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, may Allah, you know, cure me. I only have a few days to live, a few weeks to live. What do you advise to give me? Well, now everyone should put their affairs in order. Any duties, any things you owe to Allah in terms of salah, in terms of fasting, in terms of debts, in terms of zakah, these things must be discharged. We need to get right our books and account with Allah. Any debts we owe to any person, our wills and these kind of things, these need to be set in order. We need to make istighfar and tawbah. We have, of course, sins on our scales. We can remove them now, subhanAllah. We can go to Allah sin-free, sinless, through tawbah and istighfar. So long as we're still breathing and are alive, the doors of tawbah and istighfar are available to us. Any person that you have harmed or hurt, these kind of events are reminders that, subhanAllah, I need to pick up the phone and speak to my brother, my mother, my whoever it might be, and ask for maaf, ask that no one holds any grudge against me. Rather, sort it out now before we have to sort this out on the day of Qiyamah. Allah protect us. One Sahabi, asked the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam quite a bit about Dajjal and all these things. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, you always ask these things. What is the matter with you? And so the Sahabi says, you make a mention of Dajjal in the morning and you speak about him so much that describing him, sometimes he seems very important and other times he seems very insignificant. Sometimes we feel like Dajjal is going to jump out of the trees and other times you don't give him much priority. The Sahabi wants to understand this. And so the Prophet says, there are things that I fear for you more important than Dajjal. There are much bigger things I worry about for you than Dajjal. And it's about the priorities of life. Worrying about Dajjal and worrying of the signs of Qiyamah, sometimes these things are a distraction. They keep us away from what is important in our life. And the Prophet continues and he says, if Dajjal were to come while I'm amongst you, then I will contend with him on your behalf. I will sort him out on your behalf. But if he comes while I'm not amongst you, every person must look after himself and Allah will take care of every Muslim on my behalf. So everyone then needs to look after themselves. And again, you look after yourself by taking the same precautions as we all know. Focus on your salah, give more charity, be a good person, get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what ultimately counts. in times of calamity, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you look at the, there's a chapter in every book of hadith. It's called the Book of Tribulations. It speaks about Dajjal, it speaks about the signs of Qiyamah, it speaks about any kind of tribulation that the Prophet spoke about. It's the, now in the chapter of tribulations at the end in Bukhari, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells you what to do in times of tribulation. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, worshipping Allah during a period of widespread turmoil is like making hijrah to me. Hijrah meaning taking yourself away from the safety that you need, the salvation, is through ibadah. So perform more ibadah. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, hasten in performing good deeds before you see six major signs. So the Prophet speaks about six signs that will come before Qiyamah, Dajjal, the smoke, the beast. The Prophet speaks about these things. So he says, hasten to do good deeds while you still can, because there will come a time when you will be overwhelmed by this tribulation. So you and I, we still have the ability to do good deeds, and so we need to cash in, do as much as we can, especially during these times of tribulation, before it is too late. There's a hadith in Tirmidhi, a beautiful hadith, subhanAllah, so relevant to us. This is actually, you know, so today, one of the reasons I gave this lecture is because for the past week I've been inundated with fake news and conspiracy theories that I felt I need to speak about, you know, get people back to perspective. And then just before I spoke, gave this lecture today, a brother sent a beautiful, beautiful, a voice note, of a hadith that I have never heard before, and I checked it out. It's authentic. It's called the Hadith of Salvation in Tirmidhi. Sahabi Uqba narrates that the Prophet ﷺ said, he asked the Nabi ﷺ, what will give us salvation? What will save us? What will save us? And so the Nabi ﷺ responded and he said, if you want to be saved, do three things. Number one, control your tongue. And by extension, your WhatsApp, your Facebook, control your tongue, watch this thing. Number two, let your house be enough for you. Stick to your homes, let your homes be sufficient for you. And number three, weep over your sins. Cry to Allah for the sins that you've done. Do these three things, subhanAllah. That's all we need to do now. Stay at home, watch what we send out into the digital universe, and get closer to Allah, do good deeds, and repent for your sins, and this will save all of us, will save all of us. Lastly, and my, you know, very beautiful hadith, even if this is the end, subhanAllah, even if Qiyamah were on our doorstep, even if all these fears were to come true, still, we are required to be optimistic, and we are required to respond beneficially. Being hysterical, sending out messages and creating further hysteria really is counterproductive. There's no good in that. It's just a way in which you are trying to control a situation that you cannot control. Let it go and focus on what you can control. And this hadith by Anas radiallahu anh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the final hour comes, if Qiyamah is basically arriving and you have a sapling, a plant in your hand, and it is possible for you to plant it, then he should plant it, even if Qiyamah was coming. Now, someone might say, but if Qiyamah is here, there's no way this plant will even grow to be a tree. We do not worry about the outcome. Do not worry, the hadith is telling you, do not worry about things out of your control. What America does, what the governments of the world are doing, what some scientists are doing, what the rest of humanity is doing, you cannot control that, so don't worry about that. Worry about the things you can control, and no matter how bad your situation is or how dire the situation is, go back and do something good and something productive. Be positive, make ibadah, and hope for the good. Remember, every ibadah we do, every charity we give, every tree we plant, objective is not for us to see the result in the dunya. We want to see the result in the akhirah. And once we do the good deed, then the matter is in Allah's hands for Him to compensate us. And that is what is the purpose of life. So we remind ourselves that this dunya is temporary. We are only going to be here for a few years, and then we're going to pass away. And we have to make the most of what we have. Sometimes we're tested with ease and comfort. Sometimes we're tested with difficulty and hardship. Sometimes it's jobs or family or children's stress. Sometimes it's big things, you know, global calamities. Ultimately, salvation is in the salah we make, the istighfar for our sins we make, the charity we give, the company, the kind of friend you are, husband you are, wife you are, son and daughter you are. This is that salvation is all about that. And yes, life will give its tests, and all the time it will be testing. Only when we enter the doors of Jannah will all tests come to an end. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He bring all of us into the doors of Jannah, very soon the doors of Jannah will all tests come to an end. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He bring all of us into the doors of Jannah very soon. And may Allah let these difficult days pass very quickly. May Allah keep us safe and grant us to be mindful. And may Allah bring back the ease and comfort.